Father in heaven, as people make their way to standing, Lord, I thank you, God, that you're helping them to recognize all the places this week where you've made them to be able to stand. Lord, every time that it got hard, God, every time there was grief that they were facing, Lord, every time they had a moment of sadness or depression, Lord, they're standing today, and God, that's because of you. So, Lord, right now, I thank you that you are meeting every single one of us right where we're at. God, you're walking down each and every aisle right now. You're touching every heart. Lord, I thank you that you are opening up our understanding so we can receive your word in this place this morning. And Lord, we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we are going to begin a very cool series of messages, I think. I have pastored for 5 years now, and Dad and I have never done a series together, but we are going to start one together, and we are excited about it, and it is this right here. Many, many times the relationship between a grown child and the parent, many times those relationships begin to feel like a tug of war. There is resistance, there is lots of emotion, and sometimes those relationships are hard and they're strained. Now, if you don't have kids in here or you think that this won't apply to you because of whatever reason, this is still going to apply to you because there is a lot of good things that I'm going to speak about in this message. But I do want to mention that we want to come alongside you, the ministry does, and we want to help you to make these relationships easier. We did have some questions put on here. If you don't want to put it on here and you just want to text it, that's fine. You don't have to sign these. But if you have a question about any aspect of those relationships, maybe you're the grown child, maybe you're the parent of the grown child, and you say, my grown child is driving me crazy. What do I do? Or my parent still thinks that I'm a kid and they're trying to control me. Put those on here. Whatever your question may be, if you'll put that on here, fold it up, put it in this bowl, we are going to try to answer every question that we get. So go with me now this morning to John chapter 9. And we are going to begin to read at verse 13. And it says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath, and therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. See, back in the day, people were very religious, and they are still religious today. Now, when I talk about religious, that's not a slander against Christian people. There is a difference. Amen, right, Brother Charlie? I've had people say, hey, I want to volunteer at your stuff, but I'm not a religious person and I'm not going to come to church. And you know what? That doesn't bother me because I don't consider myself a religious person either. I consider myself a saved person, and there is a very big difference because religion will tell you, just like we see in the Bible, look, there can be no healings done on the Sabbath. Or you have to wear this, and this to be able to be considered a Christian. You can't wear any makeup. You can't wear short sleeves. You can't dye your hair. You can't ever cut your hair. That's called religion. And women, I encourage you to wear that makeup. Wear as much of it as you can. Okay? So you're not going to get any of that here. Because I believe in makeup and glitter. And if you guys want to cut your hair, if you've still got some, great. Cut it. And if you're trying to be a hippie and you like it long, then wear it long. I remember way back in the day somebody asked Dad if they thought that they should cut their hair because there were some folks that were giving them a hard time about how could they be saved if they had that long rock star looking hair. And he said, I don't think you ought to cut that. That was Tommy. Tommy's been in my life since the 80s, and I used to sit on the square. We had Parish Christian Center on the square where Little Shops is. And before then, it was the old Eagle restaurant. We rented that building for a time. But while we were on the square, that's some of my earliest memories in the ministry. And I used to sit and wait for Brother Tommy to get to church. He was my favorite person in the whole church. He always had something to give me when he got there. And he's always been like a big brother to me. But, yeah, that was Tommy. I didn't want to mention names, but since you did. I didn't want to mention names because he doesn't have a lot of hair now, but that happens to the best of us. Mine's falling out too. But anyhow, it didn't recede. It retreated to the back. There you go. All right. So here we see Jesus had healed someone on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees didn't like that. And I think that there are still Pharisees today. There's going to always be somebody that has something to say about whatever it is that God did in your life. Well, how could that have happened for them? How did God do that for them? That must not have been God because they've been married three times. Well, that's called religion. How could this happen for that person? They don't, whatever. I mean, we got to stop judging what people are doing constantly because we're not them and we don't know what's going on with them. Most of what goes on with people, they don't even talk about. Amen. And we're not the judge and jury. So here we are, and it says here, therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said, he put the mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see. And in verse 16, it says, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, yes, this is a message on grown children and their parents, but as I see things in the Word, I'm going to pull them out. And one of the worst things that a Christian person could do is judge where somebody else is not saved or saved. And there's too much of believers looking at other people's life and going, well, they're not saved. Oh, they need to get saved. We need to get a good case of shut up because we don't know. Now, if you don't like that kind of preaching, you can go somewhere else where they'll fluff that up for you. But at the end of the day, we don't need to be calling that judgment saying, well, they must not be saved. Look here, we don't know what they are. But we got to love on them. And so they said, well, he must not be saved because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. So here they are. The Pharisees questioned this guy. He was not a child. He was a man. And we'll see that here in just a minute. And they've questioned him. They didn't like his answers because they thought, well, there's not supposed to be any healings going on in the Sabbath. We've asked him. He's told us. And that's not good enough. So we're going to get his parents involved. Now, what I want to point out to all of everybody, the grown children, the parents, is this right here. There are times where your parent, you may be the grown child, and your parent is called up, or they're communicated with in some way, and they get involved with a situation that has to do with you. Have we ever had that happen? Here you're minding your own business, and you're handling your business, and all of a sudden, your mama shows up, or your daddy shows up, or they this, or they that. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. Sherry's going, I'm guilty. There's nothing new under the sun. So what we know is that that still goes on. So what I want to point out is this right here. A lot of times it aggravates grown children when their parents get involved in situations that the grown kid didn't ask them to get involved in. Are y'all following me? Okay. Have y'all ever experienced that? Okay. Now, one of the points that I want to draw out is this right here. Somewhere along the way in those relationships, in the relationship between the grown kid and their parent, sometimes we lose a lot of grace in that relationship. And our responses and all the communication just begins to be real sharp. Because the grown kid, we're trying to prove that we can handle it all on our own. Grown kids, I don't care if you're 50, 60 years old. Frank is still a grown kid. He is still blessed to have his mother and his father. They are both alive. They are both still have their wits. And this applies to everyone across the board. There are times where you can handle it all on your own. And there are times that you can't. And you need to stop being prideful about it either way. And there are times, I have had this happen, and I'm sure that others have had this happen. There have been times in mine and my dad's relationship where I was handling something on my own, and he found out about it, and he got involved in the situation. When someone else brings your parent along in the situation, don't get mad at your parent. They're just trying to help you. Are we going to talk about boundaries and things later? Yes, we are. But there's a lot of us that I want to bring this part up. I was on the phone. This is just, for the past 5 years, this has come to me so many times, almost on a weekly basis, Tanya. It's just this with the grown parents and the kids and all this stuff. But I was on the phone just this week with someone, and they were complaining about their grown parent. And I just stopped them and I said, look, there's going to come a day where you just wish they would annoy you and aggravate you like you are today. And you're going to remember being upset with them over them calling or texting you. Because there'll be a day where you wish that they would and they won't be here. We've got to get to a point where we put grace back into those relationships and we understand that we don't have everybody for as long as we wish. Amen. So we see here in the Word, here's this guy's parents. He gave them the explanation. He gave them the truthful explanation. It wasn't good enough for the Pharisees, so they called on his parents. We've probably all had that happen to one degree or the other. And so, in verse 18, the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Verse 19, is this your son, they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Now, I want us all to really pay attention to the parents' response, because I'm just going to minister to the parents right now. Your grown kids think way more and they care more about what you think than they'll ever let you know. Amen. They care more about what you think than they're probably going to ever let on and let you know. I care about what my parents think about me a great deal. Do I always let them know that? No. But I care about what they think of my choices, my decisions, my life. I care a great deal about their opinion about that. Do I always want to know their opinion? No, not always. But I care about it a lot. So parents, all of us, let's read these scriptures together, because there's a lot of wisdom in the response of these parents. And so in verse 20, we know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. Verse 21. But how he can see now, or who has opened his eyes, we don't know. Number one, ask him. Number two, he is of age. And number three, He will speak for himself. And I'm going to break those things down, because if we could understand, when people say, oh, well, I've got a problem and the answer is not in the Word. There's not the answer for everything is not in the Word. I very highly beg to differ, because I don't care what you're talking about. It is in the Word. Now, you may have to have help to find where that is, but there is not a problem on the planet that is not found, the answer that is not found in the Word. There is not a subject that you could wonder about where there is not wisdom, a wealth of wisdom in the Word. What happens is, as Christians, they handle life like it is a New Year's resolution. Oh my God, it's fixing to be January 1st. I'm going to lose 35 pounds. I'm not going to binge on Netflix no more. Away with those little Debbies. I'm going to be a better person, and I'm not going to cuss. Well, I hate to tell you this, but we all know you're not going to do none of them things. Why? Because you like them little Debbies. You got a potty mouth, and you're not going to lose 35 pounds probably, and you like to binge watch Netflix. I'm going to preach where we live, and if it offends you, stop. But we will be preaching where we all live. The problem is that people, a lot of them, don't ever read their Word until they get in a bind. And then it's like they want to cram years worth of Bible reading and getting it into their spirit in one little mini session. And that's just not going to work. If you will put the Word in your heart on a constant basis, when you come up with these life issues, that Word, because it's living and because it's active, it'll come out of you and it will hit that spot. It'll hit that problem where it needs to. So it says here, ask him. He is of age and he will speak for himself. So I've made myself some notes. When it says ask him, you know what? Here's the truth of the matter. Our parents and y'all parents, we have our children, and we spend the first 18 to 20 years of their life talking for them, defending them, providing for them, loving on them, sticking up for them, going to bat for them, nurturing them. And I'm going to just say this, and if I am preaching this to anybody, I have got to preach it to myself first, because sometimes I get aggravated, and I shouldn't. But we are not the parents, the grown of us grown kids. They can't just turn off those feelings after pouring their life into you all those years. Now, on the flip side of that, parents of grown children, let's pull out the wealth of knowledge that's in here. What did they say? Ask him. We need to give our children the opportunity to speak for themselves. There have been times where I would tell my dad, I'm having trouble with so-and-so. I'm having trouble with this person. And then I would threaten him and I'd say, don't you dare say anything to those people. Because I know that, and all you other parents, and I am a parent, here's what I know, Bobby. He would give his life for me. And he darn sure would tell somebody off for me or try to get them in line for me. But does that really help me when I'm a grown adult? Most of the time it doesn't. Give your grown child an opportunity to speak for themselves. Because you won't always be here to do all the talking for them. And you don't want them to not be able to do it in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s. What did you raise them to be? I love my boys, and Tommy, I want them to this is selfish, but I want them to love me more than they love anybody on the planet right now. But look here, I'm not raising them to be mama's boys, because at the end of the day, here's what I want for them. I want them to go. I want them to be godly men, and I want them to be able to stand on their own two feet. Colton got in a little disagreement with a cute little girl at school this week. The child I thought was perfect. I think that kid literally, not only did he hang the moon, but I think he created the moon. I mean, this kid like can do no wrong in my eyes. Frank's always like, Kelly, that kid. But man, that kid, I just nearly think he's perfect. Well, apparently not. Because he came home with a 3. And he's always had a 5. So they get these numbers every day, Jimmy. And it's from 1 to 5, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. So my kid's never really, I think one other time he came home with a 4, but he's never gotten in anything. He's never gotten a 3. So I'm sitting here and I'm disturbed. I'm like, what is the deal? And then I started thinking about what I'm trying to create in him and what I'm trying to build as a parent. And I said, I want to know what you did. Well, I got into it with this little girl. Right when he said this little girl's name, I was like, that's the sweetest little kid I know. You got into it with that one? Yeah, I did. So I'm trying to figure out, because he just said, we got in a little heated argument. And I said, well, who was heated? He said, well, I was. And I said, well, was she also? What was the deal? No, she wasn't. So I'm trying in my mom head to find a reasonable doubt that this child of mine is innocent. Well, I couldn't find one because he wasn't. And I was just trying to just fish for nothing, Sherry. He was dead guilty. And so I said, well, what happened? Well, we were playing with the dominoes, and she started telling me what to do. And I said, okay, I'm going to stop you right there, because I'm going to give you some life advice, Colton. You're 8 years old. Women are going to always tell you what to do. That's never going to change. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. That ain't changing. She told you what to do. She was probably right, and you didn't like it. And men don't like when they're wrong, okay? So don't get all upset. Them girls are going to be telling you what to do from the day till you die. And so then I still didn't feel like he was holding something back. And I don't care if you got a little kid or you've got a grown kid. All the kids do this, and I do it. Now, grown parents, we ain't always going to give you the full picture. Okay? All you grown parents, you know what I'm talking about? Your grown kid ain't going to always give you the big picture. And I'll tell you why. Because we hate disappointing you. Whether it's me and I'm, how old am I, 38? Or my 8-year-old. I don't even know how old I am anymore. It's terrible. Still in my 30s. I'm going to keep them. And so I texted his teacher. I said, Miss Fulmer, please enlighten me on what happened today. And she goes, well, it really shocked me because it was very out of character for him. But he started yelling at so-and-so because she told him he was doing those dominoes wrong. And then he threw the domino.
Oh my God.
And I'm driving down the road. And Colton's in the back. And I'm reading this and I'm driving. I know you shouldn't do that. And I said, did you throw a domino? What do you mean a heated argument? You're throwing things. That's more than a heated argument. And I said, and then I got on to him about that. I said, you know what? You didn't give me the full picture. Well, why didn't you? I knew you wouldn't be happy about it. Look here. That doesn't change. Many, many times, you parents of these grown children, y'all are stressed, y'all are depressed, you're upset, you're worried, you're all of these things. And let me just let you in on a big fat secret. A lot of times you're a grown kid, they ain't told you the whole enchilada because they really hate disappointing you. And if it's not the disappointment as the reason, they don't want to get a lecture. Let me tell you something. Lectures aren't all bad, but there's times for them and there's times not for them. So at the end of the day, Colton was crying. He really has a tender heart. He knew right when he did it, he messed up. And I said, Colton, here's what I want to know. Were you in the wrong? He said, I was in the wrong. His teacher said, Kelly, before I could even do any, punish this kid in any way, he was already praying. And he was apologizing. And he asked if he could go to the other teacher that he did this in front of and apologize to them. And then with tears in his eyes, he apologized to that little girl and asked her to forgive him. And after hearing that, Alyssa, here's what I gathered. There was nothing left for me to do as the parent. He already did it. If you're still raising your kids, stop defending them every time they get in trouble. That's hard for me because that's my first go-to. I'm going to defend them whether or not they're right or wrong. But look here, that's how you get somebody that they're never going to leave your house. They're going to stay with you, and you're going to live with them till the day you die, and they're going to be taking all your money. They'll be 60 years old, and they'll be still mooching off of mom and dad. And at the end of the day, that's not why you had them and why you raised them, right? If you're still raising kids, think about what you want the end result to be. And look here, Patty, there was nothing left for me to do. I said, you know what, Colton, you were wrong. And you've already made the correction in your life. Are you going to ever do this again? He said, no, I'm not. And I said, okay. Thank God you're not your brother because we'd be doing way more than this. So here we are. The parent said, ask him. Give your grown child an opportunity to speak for themselves. Give them that opportunity. Ask him. Number two. He is of age. So my mom, I'm not sure if she still has it, but I'm pretty sure she does. When you walk into a part of their house where they've got their recliners, there's a picture of me on my senior year. And on this picture is a baby picture of mine where I was maybe like 2, and I was just the cutest 2-year-old ever. And she had me in this little white jumper thing. And throughout the years, when I have come over to her house, she would point at that picture, and she has said many, many times, she goes, you know, I still see you as that little girl. And I can understand that because I have children. I don't have them raised, but I get that. On the deepest level, I get it. He is of age. Sometimes the hardest thing for grown parents to do is make that recognition in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, that that kid is of age. They are grown. Does that mean that we don't need you? Absolutely not. We probably need you more. Just in a different way. But when you want to defend them, when you want to do all these things, when that kid is of age and you have to allow them to make decisions. You cannot make their decisions for them. And I also want to talk to the grown kids, and here's what I'll say about that. The problem with many grown kids is that we don't want our parents involved, and we go off and we do and make dumb choices that affect them because we're going to be asking them for help after we get ourselves in these stupid predicaments. So if that's where you're at in your life, don't get mad at your parent for trying to figure out how to maneuver the best way to help you when you didn't involve them on the front end. Look here, and the truth is this right here, and I hate to just be openly blunt, but sometimes there are choices that your grown kid is going to make, and they need to suffer the entire consequence of that so they will never do it again. Now, that's hard, but that's what's needed. So make that recognition in your heart. They're grown. Now, I know somebody, and for their entire 20s, every time their grown parent would get involved, now here's the deal. They would do something dumb, then they would need the grown parent's help. And then the grown parent would help them and then kind of overshadow them because they're like, oh my God, is this person going to do this again? Then the grown kid, every single time, I'm 21 years old. You need to get out of my business. I'm 24. You need to get out of my business. I'm 30 years old. You need to get out of my business. Then baby, grow up and stop relying on them to finance your mistakes. Because that's what it is. Now, I know that this is some very sharp teaching, but when I committed myself to preach on this, I will preach on this in its entirety. And here's the deal. Many grown children are being rude to their parents and unkind to their parents, and the parents are enablers. But the children, the grown children, are not learning from their mistakes because their parents are still financing their every dumb idea. And if you want to ever get your grown kid to stop financing the mistake. Right, Johnny? That's the truth. Now, I got life lessons to back that up. I think I was engaged like 2 or 3 times. Dad's going, is that all? I think so, Dad. I'm getting older, and that was a part of my life I'd like to just erase out. And the first time, I'm trying to remember, there's been a lot of water under that bridge, but the first or second time I got engaged, we went, he used to call me the runaway bride. And we went and we got all, we paid for the flowers, got the dress, the favors printed. Yeah, he paid for it. All of it. And enjoyed every moment of it. Well, then I called that one off. And I'm going to, the only way that I can minister is if I'll just pull some things that I'm embarrassed out of my own life, okay? I think I was engaged 3 times. The devil's really always tried to screw me up in the relationship-wise, and I'm not going to omit that part of my life because it can help people if I'll just be honest about it. Well, the first guy was my high school sweetheart, and we were together for 4 years. And he was like part of the family. And this, why am I talking about this? Because one of the main problems between grown children and their parents is this right here. My parent doesn't like my spouse, or my parent doesn't like my significant other. Well, that's a problem in lots of ways. But the first guy, high school sweetheart, we all thought we was getting married, I mean, you know, till we wasn't. And I remember calling him during the day, and I said, Dad, I need to talk with you tonight. Now, look, there's a tone of your grown child's voice. I was grown then. When you get on the phone with them and they say something, do you not know there's something wrong? Parents, right? How do you know that? Because you've poured your whole self into them. Grown kids, that's why I'm just telling you to give them a little bit of grace. Because they love you so much, they would just do almost anything for you to their own fault. I said, oh, I got to talk to you tonight. We get in his truck. We go for a drive. I said, I'm not marrying this guy. I just don't think that's what I need to do. Now, some fathers, I'm sure, would say, I done paid for the dress, I done bought the flowers, I done got the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What? Never. She said, you know what, I'd rather us do this now. And I always remembered that because I thought I was about to get the biggest griping out of a lifetime. But instead of that, I got a 100% support. And that meant a lot. Now, the second time that I got engaged, here's what he did differently. And a lot of you may think that this is super harsh. And I did at the time. He said, Kelly, I'm real excited about your wedding, but here's the deal. I already paid for one. So this one's on you. You're going to pay me back. And the way you're going to pay me back is you're buying it now. Stop financing mistakes, grandparents, because it makes you feel real used and real washed up when they turn around and then they're rude to you right after. Let them figure it out. I know that's really difficult. Am I saying that there's never a place where you should help your grown child? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if there's a constant, consistent string of the same type of mistakes, you probably need to care more about your retirement money than you do your kids' dumb decisions. Because they're still making them. Because you're still paying for them. And then the parents say he will speak for himself. So many times, a frustration that grown children have is they feel like, or we feel like, our parents are always talking for us. Well, sometimes they may be, sometimes not, but grown parents, give them an opportunity to speak for themselves, and not only give them an opportunity, but when you're asked something, I know that was my own husband with his phone, but when you're given the opportunity to say something in response about your grown kid, you know what? Redirect people to your kid. You shouldn't be answering for them all the time. And grown kids, don't get all bent out of shape when they do at times. I remember just a couple weeks ago, my dad called me. And he said, hey, I'm going to meet with so-and-so. I haven't seen them in a long time. I don't even know if they know that you've gotten remarried. And oh my gosh, my blood started boiling, Mary. Because I thought, nosy people. He goes, well, what do you want me to tell them? I said, and then I was thinking, I probably sounded like a big fat jerk when I was talking to Dad. I said, I don't want you to tell them nothing. It's none of their business. What do you mean you feel like you need to tell them something? Nothing. Well, bless his heart. He goes, oh, man, hon, I think I've got you at a bad time. I'm going to get off of here. But, I'm just not going to tell them nothing. And sometimes, grown kids, the way that we're talking to our parents isn't right. Because it's super, super sharp. And maybe we don't even mean it to be that way. But like I said, there'll be a day where we just wish we could talk to them. And these relationships are everything to us. So give your grown child, give them some room to speak. Grown parents, they're not the kids that you still see in their little cute onesies and stuff. They're grown. And parents, we still need you, probably even more. I talked to Brother Baker, Brother Larry. Shane had a big game, and we thought that they were going to win championship in basketball. I'm probably not saying that right, but I don't know a lot about basketball, but I know Shane is like, probably will be a professional basketball player, probably. And I said, man, Shane said they lost the game and all this stuff. And well, I guarantee you that they have been on the sideline in the bleachers on a lot of his games. And parents are never not needed on, we always need you there, cheering us on. And probably half the time, we don't know what the heck we're doing. And we're just trying to make you proud. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 11. You know, in the pandemic, when it came, it was a force to be reckoned with. And it was a very scary time for me. At that time, I was a new pastor. And I was seeing all around me were other pastors that had been in the ministry 30, 40 years. They were leaving the ministry. The United States at that time, during the pandemic, they had an overall shortage of pastors and ministers because really nobody wanted to do it because it was just very tough. And I remember feeling so much pressure and so much, I don't know what to do here, because I had no point of reference on, well, what had other ministers done in the past with the pandemic? I really didn't have a lot of direction other than God, and that was all I needed. But I do remember that there were many times that just because of the rise of the COVID numbers or what have you, that we would have to have online services instead of in person. And boy, that was something. And I remember preaching a Christmas message back in the corner there. They were using my cell phone at that time to record it. And I had a little table, and I had it decorated like Christmas. And I was preaching my Christmas message to an empty church building. And I was preaching my message back there. And I kept hearing my dad cough. And usually, because I have attention span problems sometimes, I would have gotten hung up on coughing or this or that. And that's why sometimes if I say, hey, you got to get your little blessing back in the classroom, because I get distracted. Well, don't take that personally, because I get easily distracted. But I remember on that particular sermon that I did back there, every time he coughed, I remember thinking, thank God that he's here. And I looked at all the empty seats. And he just kept coughing. It was winter. And I think I even said, that's my dad coughing. And him and my mom sat right back there countless times. And where I usually would have gotten aggravated over the coughing, every time he coughed, I was praising God. Thank God. Grown children, you need your parents maybe more than you'd ever even like to admit. Amen. Grown parents, we need y'all more than we'll ever like to admit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. I'm going to read that one more time. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Are there times where your parents are overstepping? I'm sure. Are there times where they're overshadowing you and being too much? I'm sure. But many times with grown children, your parents are doing that because there's something you're doing that's pretty childish. A lot of times Carson will do something and I'll say, or he'll say, stop treating me like I'm a baby. And I'll say, stop acting like one. One of the things that we all want to prove to our parents is that we can do it. And here's what I'll say to every person that's still blessed enough to have their parent living. I get that. And I know that one of the things that we like the most is to be able to say, hey, look, Mom, or look, Dad, I did it, or I can do it. I've done this, or I've done that. Well, I want to say this right here. Never be too prideful to be able to say to them, I failed. Never be too prideful to say, I failed. Because here's what I know. Most of the time, that is the one relationship that you will have that they will stop at nothing to help you succeed. Sometimes the people that can help you the most are the people that we brush off the most. Because we don't want to admit that we need their help. But you know what? Let them help you while they still can. While they're still here. I remember a few years ago, my dad can tell in my voice when something's off with me. And I can tell in his voice when something is off with him. And we are very, very close. Have we had some rocky times in our relationship? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I'd die for him and he'd die for me. He knocked on my door and I couldn't even open the door. It was just one of those days. I was down in the dumps about the ministry. I was having a lot of problems with somebody. And I just said, I'm here, just come on in. And I was sitting at my table. And he said, well, what's wrong? And I said, nothing. He goes, well, no, that's a lie. Right. He goes, I'm your dad. I know when anything's wrong with you. I said, well, and then it was like a faucet that he had turned on. And I just started spilling it. Well, this person, this, and then it was just like, and he sat down and he just kind of giggled to himself, Penny. He said, oh, Kelly. He said, I always had that problem with that person, too. And here's what you do. And he began to explain to me how to be a better pastor to this person. Because he had to master it, too. I think sometimes the needed thing between the grown child and the parent is just that we both recognize that we still very much need each other. Amen. And if you're in here today and you're hurting because you've lost a parent or you've lost a child, I'm very humbly, I'm so sorry about that. But here's what I can say about the God that we serve. He will put people in your life to fill that void. Will it ever be the same? No. But will it be a comfort, and can you have that in your life? Yes, you can. So us grown kids, if we feel like they're babying us, first of all, ask yourself, am I being childish about the way I'm handling this situation? Because the truth of the matter is sometimes in these relationships, the kid resorts to acting like a two-year-old and the parent resorts to making all their choices for them and speaking for them and all those things. So before we get all worked up, we need to ask ourselves, why is my parent doing this? Is it because I'm acting like a kid again? Go with me now to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 and 20. And it says this, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to say this. One of the things that is so necessary in this type of relationship is that both parties are quicker to listen than you're quicker to speak. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And if we would apply this to our life more, the relationship would be better. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So we need to be quick to listen. Quick to listen. Listening is one of the most important things in the relationship. And I'm going to close this service with this story right here. Think about, it's either 2 or 3 years ago. Very suddenly and very shockingly, my dad had a brain bleed, and I don't think that he will mind me sharing this because it's common knowledge. And I remember on a Wednesday night, he had to be helped, and we just had to plop him down, Cindy, right where you're sitting. And I remember looking at his face, and I said, Dad, if you can't do praise and worship, there's something wrong. I feel like you're sick or something. Don't feel like you've got to do anything. And he said, Kelly, if you can have them drag me to the front of the church, I will do this. Alyssa, I wanted to say, no, you're not. You're my dad. I care about you. There's something wrong. Let's go right now. There's too much of stepping in the way of each other many, many times. So he gets up here and he said, no, I don't think I can climb those stairs, so get me a chair. Well, we get him a chair. We put him right in this spot. He never missed a beat. He also preached that night. And I'll never forget it as long as I lived. I remember sitting in that service and I remember saying, God, help me. to have this type of devotion. And he said something to this day that when I'm really having a bad day, I'll let my little brain think about it because it makes me laugh every time. He goes, he looks at everybody and goes, "Guys, I don't know what's going on with me, but what we have got to all do is the four-letter word, faith." And I was sitting on the front, and I was like, I never knew faith was a four-letter word. And I'm not a good person with math, and I started counting on my fingers. F-A-I-T. And he ended that service, and I was on him like white on rice. Faith, Dad, is a five-letter word, and there's something very wrong with you. And you're going to the doctor right now. So we get him up there. Dad hasn't spent his life living in the doctors. We've never preached against it. We love doctors. I love doctors. But he was not there on his own accord. He was just doing it to appease me and his wife. He gets up there and he's the whole time, there's nothing wrong, nothing wrong, nothing wrong. The doctor comes in. And I was sitting there thinking, he's going to really be mad if this doctor don't at least say he's got a UTI or something, something. I'll never hear the end of this. And the doctor said, "Mr. Florenciano, you've got a bilateral brain bleed on both sides. We're going to take you right now." That was during the Christmas season. And he was up there. I've got three other sisters. And I thought, I felt a pull to want to go up there. But then I also felt like God saying, "No, you be the pastor, and I'll take care of him." And on Christmas Day, he calls me because he had given me the responsibility of cooking the prime rib, which is like the family tradition. I was thinking, great. The main one he trusts to do this is me. We've got a problem. And he called me on Christmas Day and he said, "Kelly," I could tell he was back to himself. He said, "God has taken me over some very dark waters." I went up there after all the stuff on Christmas Day. And I had cut his prime rib. He had begged the doctor if he could have some. He was supposed to be on a liquid diet. And he had begged the doctor, "Now let them bring me some prime rib up here." And he said, "Okay," but he doesn't need it to. I have never cut anything with more love than I cut that prime rib for him on that Christmas Day. And I remember bringing his little butter dish up there. And each one of us girls, he could only have one visitor at a time. And we all had our time. And I remember when I went in there, he had, they put two tubes in, one on each side of his head. And that brain, that they were draining that blood off of there. And he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "What do you want from me as your dad?" And I said, "Dad, for as long as you live, I want you to just listen. I want you to listen, and I just want you to support me." Had he not listened in the past? Had he not supported me in the past? No. I mean, yes, he had. But I was at a point where I just needed more. And he said, "Kelly, forgive me in every area that I failed. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to try to do what you've asked." You know, sometimes, y'all grown parents, you don't know what the heck we want. And let me tell you, we don't know what we want. But it never hurts to ask. How can I be a better parent to you? And you know what, grown kids? We should say, how can I be a better daughter? How can I be a better son? Amen? Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the word that was put out there today. God, I thank you that it's fallen on good ground. And Lord, right now I ask, God, for every relationship between a parent and a grown child, Lord, if they're strained, if they're barely hanging on, God, I ask that this be the day that that turns around. Lord, right now I ask that you'd give us wisdom right now to navigate those relationships. Lord, if there's repentances that need to be made there, God, give people the courage to tread those waters and to make that right. Lord, I thank you, God, that these relationships, they continue to nourish and to grow and to be better. And Lord, thank you for all that you're going to do to help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, we are going to get the food ready to give out. We've got some good stuff. May need to give us about 5 minutes.